Well, amen. We thank God for this truth that He washes us clean, and we're so glad that you're with us to hear that truth and to spend your Sunday with us. And so I want to welcome you to Crossroads, and I want to invite you to take out your teaching outlines that I found right there in your program. And I thank you for being with us, starting your week off with God is always an important decision. And for those who are watching at home, always great to fill your heart with these wonderful truths. And this is this series that we're in right now. We're talking about how to have a healthy heart. And that is true physically, as we want to be healthy, because the human heart is the most important organ in our body. It pumps all day long, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And as long as this ticker is healthy, that's as long as you're going to be healthy. And so what that means is that physically speaking, medically speaking, nutritionally speaking, we got to take care of our heart. But it doesn't stop there. If we want to be healthy spiritually, we have to take care of our heart with God as well. Now, this understanding is not just a popular thought that just came in vogue or that just became something new. It's not something that just blew in yesterday. This is a truth that God has had throughout the history of the Scriptures. In fact, there's a great significance that is placed upon the heart and our relationship with God. And so right there in the top of your outlines, you'll see a couple of these verses. Now, there's so many to pick from. I had to pretty much have a contest on which verses I wanted to go with and choose, because the Bible's filled with verses about the significance of the heart. It's the first thing that we need to know is this, is that God examines the heart. Proverbs 21:2 says it this way: people may be right in their own eyes, but the Lord examines the heart. Does anybody think they're always right? Just by a show of hands. Anybody here? Are you with somebody today that thinks they're always right? You can point to them. Let's do it that way. Nobody ever wants to admit that. We think we're right. We always think that we have the right opinion. We have the right feeling. We have, I just know this, and I just know that. And then we go, I was a this, and I was a that, and we base everything on past successes. Let's just throw all that out the window. God examines the heart. So we have to understand the significance of what that means. It's God who knows the heart. It's God who searches the heart. Next, God cleanses the heart. We just heard a beautiful song and testimony to that just now. God cleanses the heart. Psalm 51:10 makes it very clear. God wants us to come to Him, to ask Him to create a pure heart within us. And that's exactly what David did. And then God blesses a pure heart. Sometimes we might think, you know what, doing the right thing, you know, I just got to do the wrong thing. Because if I do the wrong thing, it seems that people do the wrong thing, they get more in this world. They get ahead. It's better just to live life and enjoy yourself and live by the seam of your pants. And you know what, you know, we'll figure it out later on. Let me just enjoy myself right now. That doesn't work, does it? I think we've all found that out. That's part of everybody's testimony at one time or another. I finally woke up. I finally came to my senses, and hopefully it's before it's too late. What we need to realize is that God does want you to have fun. He wants you to be happy, but on His terms. And He blesses, not maybe, He blesses a heart that is given over to Him. And Psalm 20, instead of Proverbs 24, it should be Psalm 24. You can make that correction there. Psalm 24 explains that. And then the theme verse for this series. How this series was inspired, this understanding of protecting the home front, the heart, having a healthy heart, being heart healthy. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else. That means the most important job you have in your life is this. Guard your heart, it says, for everything you do flows from it. That is also true physically, isn't it? Everything you do flows from having a healthy physical heart. And everything you do spiritually, everything you do in terms of parenting, relationships, serving in the church, having integrity on the job, being able to overcome temptations and those habits that seem to just keep knocking us down one after another. It all comes down to this, the heart. Having a healthy heart with God. Now, what's true physically is also true spiritually in this case. Is that is if we're going to be healthy, physically speaking, we need to begin new habits. Perhaps exercise more, sit in front of the TV less. Doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure that one out, okay? People spend far too much time watching the reality shows and not focusing on the own reality of their unhealthy lives. We all understand that, okay? Myself included. Then there comes down to nutrition. Well, we have to put the right things in our body so our heart can be healthy. We have to watch out for certain things, and we'll talk about that more in just a moment. Obviously, sleep, resting our body, making sure we're not putting harmful things in our body. I mean, you could just go on all day long. There are plenty of habits that we could institute into our life that will immediately bring health to the human heart. God has given us the foods of this earth, from the plants. God has literally given us foods to make us healthy. And so if we adopt certain habits, we could say very clearly, medically speaking, we could become healthy in the heart. Well, spiritually, we can do that as well. And so how do you have a healthy heart with God? Write this down. Being heart healthy depends on my habits. I need, each week you're going to hear this. I want you to be able to know this in your sleep at the end of the series, okay? I want you to be sleepwalking going, being healthy requires healthy habits. And hopefully we do that, spiritually speaking. You don't just snap your fingers and you're mature. You don't just snap your fingers and your temptations and struggles go away. You don't just snap your fingers and all of a sudden you're a person who's more trusting in the Lord and less trusting in yourself. It happens over time, and it happens, listen now, by having spiritual habits. And so each week we're going to talk about a habit. Last week was the habit of honor. This week's habit follows right along with it. And so write this down. This morning we're going to be talking about the habit of purity. Now, even as I begin to say that, I realize that purity is grossly misunderstood in our culture. People think, well, you're going to be pure, then you're a goody two-shoes. You're going to be pure, you're going to do things right. Oh, boy, nobody wants to be around you. You're a drag. Actually, the opposite is true. When somebody's trying to live a pure life, they're going to be a person of integrity. They're going to be a person who's dependable, a person who's trustworthy, a person who's looking to make the right moral decisions. Now, above all of those important superlatives that I just mentioned, which are enough for you and I to seek a pure heart today, even if I just stop the message right now, those are enough reasons right there for us to close the Bible, go home, and say, you know what, I'm gonna seek the habit of purity. But there's an even greater reason than that. Jesus told us to have a pure heart. Matthew 5:8 says this in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Can we say that together? This is the key verse for today. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, let's understand the context of the Sermon on the Mount first. This is a salvation talk right here he's giving. He is trying to encourage the listeners here about abandoning, trusting in the religious practices of the Pharisees, which we'll get to more in just a moment as well. And so when he talks about seeing God, he's talking about seeing him eternally, that you're not going to have any shot of being in the presence of God one day in glory in heaven if your heart is compromised by trusting in self-righteous ways to get to heaven. You're not going to see God that way. And so your heart needs to be pure, and the only way for it to be pure is for God to purify it with his grace and his spirit. And so that is true eternally. Only those whose hearts have been made pure by Jesus Christ will see God. If you believe that, say amen. That's our hope for heaven. Now, this is also true here as we walk this earth, that if you're going to be pure in your heart, you're going to seek a pure heart, you're going to have the habit of purity, guess what? You're going to see God. Now, what does it mean to see God? Oh, I saw God in my cornflakes this morning, somebody told me one time. Well, maybe you got a headache, you need to go lay down again, okay? You didn't see him in your cornflakes, okay? Oh, I saw a potato chip that looked like Jesus. I've heard a lot of things over the years. We need to back up from that mystical talk, and we need to understand the scripture practically. And what it means here to see God is not to see him in your potato chip bag or your cereal. It means to see the plans, the purposes, and the promises of God very clearly. That's what we need. Now, you can come here week after week, and I can guarantee you, you will never be given a mystical message. I'm not going to tell you to trust Jesus like, you know, trust in the force or trust in luck or a rabbit's foot. I will never waste your time doing that. What I'm going to share with you from God's word is applicable principles that work on Monday morning or Thursday night at 3 a.m. when you can't sleep because you got a problem. See, God's word is meant to go deep in the heart and help you and I. But we got to do it the right way. So blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So this morning, let's learn how to be pure in heart. And we're going to start off by just making this statement right here. It doesn't mean you got to be perfect. Jesus didn't say be perfect in heart, because then everybody would be disqualified. But it's possible to be pure in heart. And this is how to do it. And so turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. We'll stay right in the Gospel of Matthew. And if you were here last week or watched online or through the app, we're staying right in the same chapter that we were in last week, picking up right where we left off, Matthew chapter 15. And we're going to start in verse 12. As you find your place there in the Gospel of Matthew, let me just catch us up to speed of where we've been over the last 2 weeks here in this text. Jesus is coming once again to a great place in his ministry. We're about a year away from the cross, and his popularity is through the roof. If they had to pull his numbers, they'd be at 100%. Now, obviously, a lot of people in the crowd are thrill seekers, and they're just there for the ride and seeing what Jesus is doing. But there's also a lot of people there who are genuinely seeking healing and repentance and things that are divine. And so the disciples, of course, are there. And so the Pharisees then get together and they send a delegation from Jerusalem to come down to Jesus. He's here in the area of Capernaum. And they're going to confront Jesus. And they're going to come up with something that is somewhat ridiculous as you hear Jesus' tone with them. They are going to condemn the disciples for not washing their hands when they eat. And so if you remember from last week or from a previous time going through this text, The Pharisees came up with not a command of the Bible, but a religious tradition, that in order to eat, you had to wash your hands up and down first. We explained all of that last week. And if you didn't, then the food that you were eating was going to make your heart unclean. And Jesus says, that's ridiculous. And he combats all of that. In fact, he said, you're worried about that. You're breaking the fifth commandment. You're not honoring your parents because you're not helping them. And then you're elevating this rabbinical tradition over the word of God. And so then Jesus is going to say something that would offend them. And that's what we're going to arrive at today. Jesus is going to say that it's not what goes into someone's mouth that makes them unclean. It's what comes out of the mouth that makes them unclean. In other words, it's the heart that's corrupt. That's what needs to be clean, not your hands and the food. How ridiculous is that? No matter what you eat, physically it might be bad for you, but there's nothing you can eat that's spiritually going to make you sick in terms of physical food. Now, you might get a stomach ache. You might be eating too much processed food. You need to address that. But none of that is going to send you to hell. But if your heart is unclean, and you haven't trusted in Christ, well, that's a different story. And so coming now to Matthew chapter 15, verse 12, this is what we read, and then we will fill it in here with some application. It says this, the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees, the religious leaders, those top dogs from Jerusalem, in other words, that came down, they were offended when they heard this statement. And that was the statement, that it's not what goes in, but it's what comes out that makes someone unclean. Verse 13, but Jesus answered and said to them, every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. And that's talking about salvation, how you're going to be, just like the parable of the tares and the weeds, you're going to have people who are right next to you who they're saying that they have all this religion in them, but they really don't. And when the day of judgment comes or when their life is required for them, they were trusting in all that religion, but it didn't get them anywhere because God didn't plant that. It goes on to say, Jesus is going to say this now, let them alone. Now, in the Greek language, that's another way of saying keep away from these people. They are blind guides of the blind. Now, this is somewhat sarcastic. You have to understand that because the Pharisees referred to themselves as what? The leaders of the blind. And Jesus says, you really are the leaders of the blind. You're the blind leading the blind. That's where that saying comes from in our culture. You are the blind leading the guide. You're worse than that. You're the blind guides of the blind. And then the blind that are following you, Jesus said in another passage of Scripture, they're twice the sons of hell because they're following you. And then if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into what? The pit. Now, they would understand this in their culture because in the fields they would dig wells and they would dig places for water. And if a blind man was walking, he would sadly fall into it. But this isn't talking about falling into a well. This is talking about falling into the pit of hell. Hell is a real place. There's a heaven and there's a hell. Hell is not being on the BQE yesterday. There was a lot of traffic yesterday. That's not hell. There is a hell, eternal separation from God. But thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, we don't have to worry about that if our faith is in Christ. But what we do have to do is make sure that we don't focus on anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ when it comes to salvation and then when it comes to having a pure heart. Religion will never purify your heart. Only God's word can. Because isn't that what the problem is? If we had to diagnose the Pharisees on what we know from the previous 11 verses and now in these opening several verses, is that the reason why they're blind, it's not a physical blindness, it's not a monetary blindness, it's not a relational blindness, it's a spiritual blindness. Why? Because Jesus said it earlier in the same passage, they elevated the traditions of their rabbinic teaching. They were so blind that they said this, God studies his own law, the Old Testament, during the day, and then at night he studies the Mishnah, the traditions, the religious oracle traditions of the Jews. That's how diluted they were. And so they elevated their religion over the scriptures. That is why they were blind. In other words, they were nourishing their heart with rabbinic traditions that contradicted the word of God. And if you and I, physically speaking, now, sadly enough, heart disease is still the number one killer in America. But in recent years, great advancements have been made in cardiovascular health. But the greatest advancement of all has actually always existed. It's called eating healthy, nourishing our bodies properly. See, the Pharisees were nourishing their hearts and leading everybody to nourish their hearts with religious tradition, which ultimately was making them sick, and they didn't even realize it. Yes, it looked good. It may have even smelled good, but it was completely rotten and unhealthy for them, so much so that Jesus said, you're the blind leading the blind. And they were nourishing their hearts with that which wasn't healthy. And so how then do we have a pure heart based on all of this? Write this first principle down. Focus on nourishing the heart with Scripture. Focus on nourishing my heart with Scripture. It's Jesus who said in Matthew 4:4 when he was enduring temptation, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of thy God. A quotation from Deuteronomy. We need God's word. It is food for the soul. It's not just a good luck charm. It's not just hope. I hope I get this promotion. I hope I get blessed. I hope I get this. I understand that's how a lot of people try to shovel out the extent of the Bible. That's what it's for. Kind of like a good luck charm. You know, let me rub it. Let me hold it a little close to my heart so things go well. It's more than that. It's not a rabbit's foot. It is food for your soul. It's nourishment for your heart. In the same way that we have to say, you know, wait a minute. Maybe I need to look at the way I'm eating. And there's lots of things right now that you can eat that are right at our fingertips here in America, all over the world for that matter, that we can get and make our heart healthy. You know, obviously, the berries are great. Strawberries, blackberries, raspberries, blueberries. You start eating that on a daily basis, and you're giving your heart a certain level of nutrition that it's going to be saying thank you on the inside. When we think about things like tomatoes, you know, I love tomatoes. I can eat tomatoes all day long. Tomatoes are healthy with that which is in them. And you think about just nourishing your body. That's just two simple ways. But also when you nourish your body properly means that we also have to get rid of things that shouldn't be there as well. So when it comes, if you want to be right with God, if you want to walk with God like never before in all your life, Jesus says have a pure heart. And this is how you do it. Focus on nourishing the heart with the scriptures. We must do that. It's so important that we do that. I came across an article in USA Today. It was actually back in December 26, 2013. And looks can be deceiving when it comes to nutrition. And it said that the puffer fish looks about as threatening as a goldfish, so it's harmless. However, it carries deadly toxins that can kill a person just after a few bites. It says every year, several people in Japan die from eating this unique fish delicatessen, and many, many others get sick. The danger is so great that Japanese chefs must receive years of training to learn the intricate skills of serving and first actually removing the lethal toxin before they could serve the puffer fish. And I think it goes without saying, as this applies to our talk this morning, that unhealthy nutrition is not only foolish, but it can be fatal. We need to understand the importance of being pure when it comes to our heart, and that means that we need to put the right things in our heart. That was the problem of the Pharisees. Listen, they had a lot of zeal. And at some point, I'm sure that those who were born into this and those that were committed to the temple, I'm sure that there was an element to want to be devoted to God, but they were blind. And whatever sincerity they had got wrapped up into other hypocrisies. I mean, think about some of the hypocrisies that Jesus had to talk to them about. They prayed in a hypocrisy type way. They were hypocritical in their prayers, hypocritical in their giving, hypocritical in their fasting. And if that doesn't get you, guess what else they did that was hypocritical? They would go to widows, and after maybe there was no children and the husband died, they would scam the widows out of giving the deeds of their property so they can go to the temple or the religious leader, and the widow would be homeless, essentially. That's how hypocritical they were. And that's why James says this in James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God is what? Caring for who? Orphans and who? Widows. Look at that connection right there. And so Jesus wanted to make sure that they understood the extent of their hypocrisy. And in many cases, Jesus wants to make sure today that Ray understands the extent of his hypocrisy when he's not filling his heart with the scriptures. Now, how does proper nourishment work? You'll notice this in your outlines. First, we need to take responsibility. We need to be responsible when it comes to our nutrition. It's not just going to happen. Spiritually speaking, physically speaking, it's not just going to happen. It says this in Psalm 119, the longest psalm. It says this, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And so the way to be healthy is to take responsibility. You know, we can't wait for everybody else to do it. We got to take responsibility. We can't go around blaming and wondering why we're not growing spiritually, why we're not overcoming temptation, why this isn't going this way and why this isn't going that way. If we are not taking responsibility and saying, I got to make my way pure by nourishing my heart with God's word. When we don't do that, we're being irresponsible. And it's like the young man who was having trouble securing a long-term relationship. And so one day, this young man called his mother and excited to announce that he had just met the woman of his dreams. And his mother said, why don't you send her some flowers and then invite her over for a home-cooked meal, and me and Dad will come over and we'll meet her. Well, Mom and Dad couldn't make it, and so it was just the two of them. Now, the day after the big date, his mother called to see how things had gone. Mom, the evening was a complete disaster. It was horrible. Well, what went wrong? Why didn't it work out? Well, she got mad when I asked her to cook and then do the laundry and then walk the dog. She said I needed to grow up and learn to be responsible. I think God looks at you and I today, and he's saying, it's time to grow up. It's time to do your laundry. It's time to cook your own meal. It's time to stop blaming this one and blaming that one. We suffer sometimes from that, the blame disease. We want to blame everybody for how things are going wrong. We got to look in the mirror and say, I got to nourish my heart with the things of God. And so I got to be responsible. Next, we got to be teachable. It says in Psalm 119 as well, verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall be in it to the end. God wants you and I to come to him and to say, Lord, teach me. Teach me your word. Teach me what I need to know, O God. It's important that we think that. You know, what if I told you in your home somewhere in your closet, you have an ancient artifact that's worth $2 million. You probably wouldn't even wait for me to finish the next point. You'd be out of here. Well, you got to know what's in your house. A family had went to a yard sale, and they bought a $3 artifact. It was a bowl. And they put it over their fireplace, and it started to collect dust. They were actually going to get rid of it or sell it in the next yard sale that they were going to have. Until one of their friends came over, and they said, you see that bowl you have over your mantle there in the fireplace? That's from the Northern Song Dynasty, the Chinese Northern Song Dynasty. That's worth a lot of money. And so they went, and they were going to put it up for auction. And the opening auction was $2,000 for it. They paid $3 for it. Guess what it sold for? $2 million. Dumbfounded by how much that artifact that they bought for $3 was, they couldn't believe how valuable something was that was sitting right there on their mantle as a decoration, turned out to be all that they needed for the rest of their life and then some. I suspect that that's sometimes how we are with the Word of God. It's an ornament in the house. Some people, they have a big Bible, like a big white one, you know, it's sitting somewhere. It's got about 4 inches of dust on it. Here it is. You know, let's open it. You know, let's open up to Psalms. That looks spiritual, or Proverbs, you know. Let's do that. Let's leave it up there as a decoration. It's more than that. Now, today we don't necessarily do that in the home. Now we do that perhaps on social media to look spiritual. But it's more than just looks and appearances. It's more than that. We are sitting on a fortune here with the Word of God. The true riches of heaven are right here. God has given that to you and I. And whether it takes a yard sale or not, or somebody to point it out to you, I don't know. But understand this. This is what God has given to us to nourish our hearts. This is what's going to make us healthy spiritually. And we must act on that. And so as Jesus was combating this hypocrisy of the Pharisees, he says they're blind. Why? Because they're trusting in the wrong nutrition. Now, once we trust in properly putting the right things in our heart, which is the Word of God, then we're ready to now embrace something that is very important. And it continues on with the theme of this chapter. Write this second principle down. Resist fighting God's cleansing system. God has a cleansing system for how he cleans you and I. He's going to convict you and I of our sin. See, that's why it's almost dumbfounded. I'm dumbfounded that some people never mention the S word in church, sin. That's crazy. Again, that's the equivalent of walking into a hospital with an open wound and saying, hey, could you bandage me up? Oh, there's nothing wrong as the person's bleeding out. Sin is our greatest trouble and our problem. Only Jesus can heal and fix that. And Jesus understood that. And so to just focus on your hands being unclean, ceremonially unclean, and not focusing on your heart being unclean is truly the blind leading the blind. Now, going on here in verse 15, it says, Peter said to him. Now, notice it's Peter who speaks up. And obviously, Peter's somewhat of the spokesman. But it's also interesting to hear what Peter's going to say and then to follow Peter's thought process into the rest of the New Testament. Peter said to him, explain this parable to us. Now, parable is how Jesus would teach to cast a straight line. Parable, as you dig down to the deep meaning of it, means to cast a straight line. Jesus would teach in parables and stories to cast a straight line of understanding. It's interesting that one of the names of the devil is the opposite of that, to cross people up. And so Jesus would teach in parables. So explain to us this teaching. And then Jesus said, are you still lacking in understanding? And you could almost picture Jesus like a parent who has taught their kid a lesson over and over again, and they keep making the same mistake, or you're asking the same question, or they just don't get it. You can almost understand him to have a tone of grief and disappointment in his voice as he says this. And it's interesting that it's Peter that says this, because we find Peter in Acts chapter 4 and Galatians chapter 2 still struggling with this whole food issue, that food can make you unclean spiritually. It's Peter who struggles with that. It's Peter and Paul who have to have this discussion, and Paul has to somewhat put him in his place, that it's not about what is food you're eating that makes you ceremonially unclean, and that there is no such thing as a food that's going to make you unclean anymore. And so it's interesting that it's Peter who raises this question, because it's not that he couldn't understand it. It's that maybe he didn't necessarily want to understand it. He was fighting the system, so to speak. And so then Jesus said, are you still lacking understanding? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? You know, Jesus is teaching health class right here. What he's saying is that doesn't make any sense, Peter, to trust in food that you're eating to make your heart spiritually unclean and sick. Because whatever goes into the mouth, the stomach processes and breaks down. There's no way that that's going to spiritually affect your heart, because it's physically broken down. Jesus explaining it, putting it out there. So in other words, Peter, stop fighting how God wants to clean us. Now, by a show of hands, how many of you have ever changed diapers before, or changing them right now? Okay. How many of you like to shy away from that? Okay. Well, we have a term for when Benjamin, or when then Joseph used to have it, but when Benjamin would have a real bad diaper. It's called a code 9. Now, what's a code 9? Now, I know this is going to be a little gross, but don't worry. A code 9 is when it's oozing out of the back. Out of the clothes, that's how much. It's coming out like soft serve ice cream, and it's going right up over the top of the clothes and back down. This is family stuff. This is reality. It's life. It's life. This is true stuff here. It's life. This is life. We're doing life here today. What, maybe we'll come here. You know what? My son went to the bathroom. It smelled like roses. Jesus loves you. It's all going to go your way. And we smile into the camera. Oh, it's all going to smell good every day. That's what some probably how they would use that illustration. The truth is, it stunk. It's going everywhere. We got a code 9. Now, Benjamin now, his words are, he's incredible. He's putting sentences together. It's amazing. It's so fun to go through that again to hear that. And Benjamin now, first of all, Benjamin will call me Ray. Some of you heard me talk about that. Ray, he yells out my name in the morning, you know, Ray, because he has everybody call me Ray. He calls me Daddy too, but Ray. So the other day he had a code 9, and he's sitting in his chair, and he goes, he looks at me and he goes, Ray, poopy. So far, everything's all right. He knows this one's bad. I could smell it from where I'm at. All right, let's change you. So as soon as I pick him up to change him, this one I'm noticing right now, we're going right to the tub. I'll go through all the wipes if I do this right now. You know, I'm gonna go in the hock for wipes. I got to go right to the tub, let the tub take care of this one right here. And so as I'm getting ready to put him in there, he starts fighting it. And he gets upset, and he's angry, and he's just fighting this left and right, and even into the tub. And he loves the water in the tub, but he fought it there. And then when I took him out to dry him and clean him up and put the diet, he was fighting it and kicking. He's strong, this kid. I mean, this kid's a bruiser. He's kicking me and pounding me. And it was a wrestling match to get him clean from a code 9. Now, when I watch Benjamin, I'll have a diaper bag, but I'm too cool to carry the feminine diaper bags. You have to realize that. I have an image to uphold around the neighborhoods, you know. So I use my briefcase. And so I have these things here that I want to show you, okay? Wipes, go through these left and right, okay? The diaper, the powder, and then, you know, you get a little rash, you get a little rapid cream here, okay? This is the system for how a reasonable parent is, you know, in today's modern day, is going to clean their child, okay? They're not going to say, go clean yourself. They're not going to say, okay, let me just wipe you up and I'll just throw a pair of pants on you. No diaper. That's crazy. You won't do that either. Unless you were just delirious and you forgot from staying up with the child. Other than that, you're going to fully clean the child up and wrap them up and do what you got to do. But the child's going to fight the cleaning process sometimes. I share with you today that we're like a baby sometimes with God. We got a code 9 going on in our life. He hears us say, poopy. He hears us say, help me, clean me. We're all about that. We even might reach out to people to help clean us in all that we've done. But then when God wants to clean us and put us in the tub, and even if we've developed a rash because we were, for whatever reason, the acid, whatever it may be, whatever the reason is, even when God wants to not only clean us, but treat us to get us right, we fight it. That's exactly what we do with God. It's the equivalent of wanting to stay in a diaper that is just loaded with poop. That is what sin is. Don't let the devil trick you into thinking, oh, it's fun, it's exciting, it's pleasurable. No, it is something you want to get clean from. Don't fight God's cleaning process. That's what Jesus was saying to Peter here. You are fighting the process that God has you. You still don't understand. If there's no religious tradition that you could do that can clean you. You and I need to understand that. There is no confession line. There is no offering you can give. There's no sacrament you could take. There's no religious thing you can do that can clean you from your sin. Only Jesus could do that. Only the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is sinless, could clean you and I. And like a loving parent, he will even wrestle with you and I until we're clean. Like a loving parent, he won't even just look at just cleaning you up. He will treat the rash that has come as a result of your sin because he loves you. He'll take a kick. He'll take a punch. He'll endure the screamings. He'll endure it all until we're clean because he loves us. That is the God who we serve. Religion will never do that for you. You know what religion will do? Religion will say, how much? And I'll try to make it. Imagine if I said that to Benjamin, how much are you going to pay me for me to change your diaper? Sounds ridiculous, right? Well, that's what religion says to you and I. Pay here, pay there, pay this, do that, and you can have this. Not so with God. We are saved by grace. That is true of salvation, and that is true of confession each and every day of our life. What motivates us to come to church? Lord willing, it is because we know that Jesus has cleaned us up. That's why we give, that's why we serve, that's why we pray, that's why we say no to the things of this world and say yes to God, because we know how much he loves us. That not only, he didn't just clean one diaper, he's cleaned every diaper. And he promises to clean every diaper from now until we're in his presence in heaven. That is the love that God has shown to you and I. And so I submit to you this morning, why fight this? Why not come and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Create in me a pure heart. As you flip over your notes, look what Psalm 51:10 says. Create a pure heart in me, O Lord. Usually it's, Lord, help my husband. Help my wife. Let them get it right. God says, no, we got to say, Lord, create in me. In me, a pure heart. This was David after he was confronted of some of his sin struggles. David, who's the psalmist of God. People think, oh, you know, all the people in the Bible, they were perfect. No, they weren't. David was confronted of that which he did was wrong. And then that night, or maybe later that week or later that year, no one knows exactly the exact moment, but chronologically speaking, this was after he was confronted of his sin. And he wrote Psalm 51. He said, create a pure heart in me, O Lord, and put a new loyal spirit in me. Don't forget that part. In fact, that's homework this week. Pray, Lord, give me a pure heart and help me to be loyal to you. Because I'm too loyal to myself and the things of this world. Don't forget that part. I need that and you need that. Nope. There is not one, you know, you wanna, can I just level it out for you? There's not one person that's here today or listening at home or that'll be here for the next service that could say, I don't need to pray that last part. I got loyalty down. Nobody's got loyalty down. We need God's grace to be loyal. Create in me a pure heart, O Lord, and put a new loyal spirit in me. The word pure means to clean ethically, ceremonially, but most importantly, spiritually. Now, purity produces some important factors in your life. Clarity. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You're going to have a clear vision of God, what God wants for you. Each one of us could get up here week after week and say, yeah, I was spinning my wheels when I was living for myself. My heart wasn't pure. And maybe I could have got to this point a lot sooner, but my vision was blocked. I was blind many ways. But when we have a pure heart, we could see how God wants us to go and what he wants us to do. We could see his purposes more clearly. Character. We're going to develop a Christ-like character when we pursue this pure heart. Confidence. Now, not a bragging confidence. That's different. This is a spiritual confidence in the Lord God Almighty. The scripture makes very clear, our trust is not to be in anything but the Lord God Almighty. And so we develop this confidence. When you have a pure heart, your faith is going to go through the roof. You're going to trust God for things that you thought you never could trust him for. It's going to make you a stronger man and a woman, a stronger child, a better husband, a better wife, a better parent, a better kid to your family. And then commitment. Your commitment's going to go through the roof because you're going to see what matters most. You're going to fix your eyes on the author and perfecter of your faith. And so with that being said then, we want to do as much as we can to focus on healthy nutrition with God. We want to resist fighting. Resist fighting God's cleaning process. And then finally, write this last one down. Filter out impurities with God-honoring standards. Filter out impurities with God-honoring standards. God wants you and I to filter it out. You know, you might have a filter at home for your water supply to filter out the impurities of the water. You might have a filter on your pool. Some of us need a filter on our mouth. We realize that. That's another sermon. That's a sermon later on in the year, okay? But we need a filter for our heart. We need a filter for our heart because there's a lot of impurities that are in there. And that's what Jesus is going to get at here. Verse 18 says this, but the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, Jesus said. He's explaining this to Peter. And those things defile a man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts. That's true. Murderous thoughts, adulterous thoughts, fornication type thoughts, thefts, false witness, slanders. By the way, some people act on these thoughts. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. In other words, we need to say, my heart is capable of these things and more. For me not to think that, I really have the wool over my eyes. What I have to realize is because my heart is deceitful, that's what Jeremiah said, I am capable of such sins. And so it is my due diligence then to make sure I am filtering out any thoughts in my heart and my mind that are not congruent, that are not lining up with what God wants for me. Because God has a plan for me, and that plan for me is much greater than the garbage of this world. He has called me to trust in him to clean me, but he's also called me to honor him. And I could trust that when I honor him, God will make a way, and God will honor me in my life. You know, a great story is, well, it's a true story, by the way, is about the restaurant Chick-fil-A. Now, I know Chick-fil-A's been in the news lately, because, you know, our mayor, listen, I pray for our civil leaders, and some of them, everybody needs prayer. I wish our government in Washington and our government here in New York would focus on needs that actually benefit the people who elect them and pay them. That would be a tremendous change. We could start right there. Instead of worrying about which bathrooms people go to, let's take care of our vets more. Maybe we could focus on that. And then let's not stop there. Instead of telling people which bathrooms to go to in the public schools, why don't we help educate our children more and provide greater programs so they compete for greater jobs as they get older and they can be more positioned after they get out of school. See, these are better issues that people who are elected by the people when they work for the people should do. Now, Chick-fil-A, the reason why I referenced the mayor is because last week the mayor told people not to go to Chick-fil-A. That didn't work out too well because they had a great week after that, okay? So much so that some businesses were hoping that they would, the mayor would throw them under the bus. Okay, so it just shows you where his approval rating is. Here's the thing about Chick-fil-A and why I bring it up. And that is this. Chick-fil-A is a marvelous company. We have some pictures on the screen. I got to tour their headquarters. What a dream. It was like going to Disney World. It was amazing for me, okay? Here's some pictures of them. And that's on the wall there. And you know what that says? The purpose statement of their company is to glorify God. Think about that. Truett Cathy, who founded this company, made a decision early on that we're going to be closed on Sundays. People thought he was nuts. You know how much he was worth? $6.3 billion. How'd that work out for him, honoring God by being closed on Sundays? How'd that work out for him? They have no debt in their company. They're one of the healthiest companies in America. Okay. In addition to that, they started an organization called WinShape that helps kids when they're getting out of high school. They could do a gap year there and learn and serve and get ready for the next year for college. A great program that I encourage some of our kids, if they're not sure what their next steps are, to do. And we have some relationships there where maybe we could talk with them about that. But you think about all the great that they've done, all the giving that they've done. But it doesn't stop there on a personal level, because some of you are going, I don't have $6.3 billion. How am I going to make a contribution? How am I going to honor? Maybe it doesn't matter if I honor God. Let me back up there. And I saved the best for last of Truett. As a strong Christian, for 50 years, he served as a Sunday school teacher at his church. How about that? Here's a man with this amazing company. Who's more busier than him, okay? But he didn't miss church. And he taught in a Sunday school. That's called honoring God. He honored God with his life. And so, it's almost comical when you hear people try to throw... Now, no company's perfect. We realize that. But I can't think of a greater example of a company that honors God than that right now. Closed on Sunday. Closed on Sunday. And people told me it was crazy. You're going to lose a lot of money. Don't let other people let their fear become your law, by the way. Don't let other people let their fears or their superstitions become how you govern your life. You just do what God has called you to do. Don't listen to everybody else. What has God written? What has God put upon your heart that is confirmed by His Word? What has the Spirit led you to do? That's what we have to do. And that's honoring God. Truett had no regrets by living his life this way. Right on the wall of their company. Now, we have some other pictures. I went to his office. I was looking to see if there's any money on the floor. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. They feed their employees every day. They have gourmet chefs there. Now, the day I was there, there was no chef there. There was just the Chick-fil-A food. I actually was more happy with that. And so, you know, I have to confess, I was a little bit of a glutton. That was when I was struggling with the eating habits years ago. Okay, I've got a little better in those areas now. But man, they provide child care for their children if you work for their corporate. They really love their employees. And I got to talk to some of their employees. I mean, up in the walls of the building are words like humility. You could see it in the picture. Generosity. Integrity. This is on the walls. This is what they want their company to be at. And they are about that. And that's why I think our government has it so backed up. So wrong, so backwards today, that we have been blessed greatly in this nation because of God, not because of man. And if we continue to try to elevate everything that man wants to do, every time somebody has a new scratch behind their ear that they want it, what's going to happen? We're just going to continue to be more and more sick. But if we could say, you know what? I want to honor God. I want to filter out the impurities in my life and stop basing everything on my feelings, God is going to bless in a great way. And God has called you and I to do that. Closing with Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Can we say that verse together? Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. A quick story about a son and his father on a camping trip. Father and son went away for a camping trip because dad couldn't make the Boy Scout meeting and the camping trip that they had. And so to make it up, he took his son away. As they were there, a bear came. Dad wasn't the greatest of campers. And dad made up his mind as the bear was approaching, I'm going to do everything to guard and protect my son, even if it means losing my life and letting the bear maul me so my son could get away. As the bear approached the tent, he began to come up with a game plan, which was, son, you run, and I'm going to throw myself at the bear. Thankfully, a noise took place somewhere else in the woods of where they were, and it grabbed the bear's attention, and he got away. But the father realized, he knew he loved his kid, but he didn't realize just how much he loved this kid, that it was beyond, you know, people say, I would give my life for my child, but right there and then, it came to it. The father's love was seen very clearly by the boy, and it strengthened their relationship and became a landmark in their relationship. Religion will never be a landmark in your relationship, but knowing the love of God that He sent His Son to die in your place is. Jesus loved you so much that He died on the cross and He rose from the dead, and that never gets old. When Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed means happy. God wants you to be happy, but His way. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who focus on putting my word in their heart, that let me clean them without the kicking and the screaming. And blessed are those who filter out the garbage out of their life, for then they shall see me. Because above all else, guard your heart. That is what God has called us to do. And He's given us the strength and the grace to do it. And whether you are the owner of a company that's worth $6.3 billion or you're worth 6 cents, either way or somewhere in between, put on the wall of your heart, we choose to glorify and honor God. You will never get tired of that. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. And we thank You for the love and the grace that You've shown to us. Lord, we pray for our nation today of how confused we are, of how we focus on issues that are nonsense compared to the greater issues that are going on, like human trafficking of children, like our veterans who don't have the proper care or the proper equipment for their disability, oh God. The proper medication, the proper counseling. Lord, our security. Lord, we pray for our country. We ask for Your covering upon it. And our trust is not in a political party, but in your promises, oh God. We pray for our country that we would be unified under the truths of your scripture, oh God. And we pray for our hearts today. We're so compromised at times, God. We want to just cry and kick and complain when we're dirty. But we want you to clean us, oh Lord. Clean us of all the mess, oh God. Clean us. Create in us a clean heart, oh God, a pure heart. And give us that loyal spirit that we may see your promises and your plans. We thank you for the cross and the empty tomb. And we commit these prayers today, thanking you, oh God, for your love. And we sow these in faith. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.